Let's turn to the book of Psalms. First, in the book of Psalms, in Psalm number 69. Psalm 69 and verse number 1. Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dry, mine eyes fail, while I wait for my God. Now let's turn over to John's Gospel. Very well known reference. John's Gospel, chapter 3. John 3, verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees, named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest, except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verse number 7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Now let's go over for a final reference to the book of Revelation and chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3 and at verse number 20. And it reads, Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. And we look to the Lord for his blessing with what we hear in the gospel. I very simply tonight just want to present three views of the Lord Jesus. From John's gospel, John 3, we read, The Lord, he says, I say. When we come to Psalm 69, the words spoken prophetically about the Lord Jesus, we read there, I sink. And finally, in Revelation chapter 3, we read there, I stand. I say, I sink, and I stand. And so, here we come, right into the context of John 3. Now, if we can get the picture, it was a dark night in Jerusalem. And there's a man moving through the streets. He is the teacher. Actually, he was likely the most religious person in Jerusalem at that time. The teacher in Israel. And he's walking through the streets. And it's in the darkness of night. And we might ask ourselves, where is he going? He was going for the most important meeting that he ever had. He is going to see the Lord Jesus. And he comes face to face with Christ. And you might wonder, and I might wonder, here is the greatest teacher in Israel, face to face with the Christ. What will Christ say to him? The amazing thing is, Christ looks him in the face. He says, Nicodemus, if you're ever going to be in my kingdom, if you're ever going to start for heaven, he says, Nicodemus, ye must be born again. That's the message. That's the message we have to herald again in Midland Park. If you ever hope to be with God, if you ever want to be in God's kingdom, God says, the Lord Jesus, with full authority of God, he says, listen, ye must be born again. I know the story's very well known, but it was Billy Sunday, as far as I know, that great preacher who first used the illustration. He compared salvation to the baseball game. And he said, there are four bases. He said, first base is being born again. Second base, getting baptized. Third base, join a church. He said fourth base, that's the home plate. That's making it the glory. Well, at that baseball game, that player, he gets out. I'm not just too familiar with the terms. I used to play soccer. But anyway, that player stands, he's got that bat, and the ball is pitched, and he hits it. And he starts going for first base. He passes first base.
He goes for second, and he hits second base. He's going for third, and at this point, the crowd are going crazy. They know a home run is on the cards. Now you can see it. They are going crazy. And the applause is coming, and the cheers are coming. Go for it! And he goes, and he hits it. He makes the home plate. Just as he does it, the umpire steps in, and the umpire says, "Boom!" Well, you say, why would that ever be? Just for this reason. He never hit first base. You know what, friend? If you ever want to be with God, ever want to be with the Lord Jesus, listen to it. Ye must be born again. Now let me ask every person in the audience, ever had a moment when you were born again? Ever had that moment? Good man. Ah, it's a wonderful thing to look through an audience of people. There are people. It's an amazing thing what you can see from up here. There are people. And their very countenance belies the fact that they have had a moment when, like Nicodemus, they got to Christ. And when they got to Him, they trusted Him. They were born again, and they started for glory. What a wonderful thing it is to be born again. To be saved, redeemed, through the emancipating power of the Christ. And start for heaven. Now wait a second. The amazing thing is in this gospel, in John's gospel, here is this man, and he is a religious man. This is the man. Now, this woman, in the next chapter, there's a sinful woman sitting at a well. And I would have said, she's the one that needs that message. A sinful woman with a sinful past, she's the one that needs to hear, ye must be born again. But the Savior, he looks at this religious man. This man steeped in religion. And he looks at him. He said, Nicodemus, you are no better than anyone else. Nicodemus, you personally must be born again. Quite a thing, isn't it? They tell us about this man that he would have known the first five books of the Bible off by heart. That is, he would start at Genesis 1 and just work his way through. And when he gets to Deuteronomy 34, no mistake. Ever try it? Ever start in Genesis 1 and try and do it? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of the Lord moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. There you go. That's three verses. And I'm out already. This man could go through it all. He had a background steeped in the Word of God. But he wasn't ready to meet God. He wasn't ready for heaven. Now let me ask you again. Are you ready to meet God? Ever had a moment when you were born again? Because the Savior, His message is this. Nicodemus, I say unto you, ye must be born again. That's the message. I see not only the message, but what does it mean? Like here we are, and we live in a world, and people think, they really do, they think if you're born in Pakistan, you're a Muslim. They think if you're born in India, you're a Hindu. They think if you're born in somewhere like Ireland or the United States, automatically you're a Christian. But you know what? That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches salvation or becoming a Christian is a very personal thing. But what does it mean to be born again? Well, as you very well know, the moment I came into this world, the moment I was born, and believe it or not, someone held me in their arms and they said, wow, nice baby. I know you won't believe that. Yeah, but someone at some point held me in their arms. I had a moment when I came into this world, and when I was born, that birth, it fitted me to dwell on earth. You know what the Lord Jesus is saying? He is telling us, if we ever want to have the fitness to dwell with God, to walk that golden street, to see the sea of glass, to look upon those gates, to hear the song, he says, listen, there is a fitness required for heaven. He says, listen, every person here, ye must be born again. The message, the meaning, what about the mandate? You know, the amazing thing is, this is not optional. In our world, there are so many things, and they are optional. Ever go to buy a Cadillac? Next time we're looking for a vehicle, both of us, we're going to buy two Cadillacs. And we walk into that showroom and look at that salesperson, and they'll come and they'll tell us the virtues of that car. And they'll tell you what it has. Satellite navigation. They'll go through all the works. And just when you've that would suit me on that. Chosen the color, whatever it is. And you're just ready to make the purchase. You know what they tell you? Sir, you want to see the options list. Oh yeah, the options list. Let me tell you, when it comes to this salvation, what we are preaching, this is not optional. When the Lord looks at Nicodemus, this is not one of the ways to heaven, one of the ways to get with God. Friend, this is the only way. The Savior Himself said, He looked at those disciples. He said, I am the way. The exclusive way to heaven is Jesus Christ, the only way to God. I heard someone tell, just quite recently, of the two boys that were looking through the window. And in that bookstore window, there was a book, 101 Ways to Get to Heaven. And one looked at the other. Well, he says, I guess we know that at least 100 of those ways are wrong. His friend looked at him. He says, a book like that, all 101 ways are wrong. Let me tell you tonight, there is only one way to get to be with God. Only one way to heaven. The Lord Jesus Himself said, I am the way. He also said, I am the door. Who would ever say that? You and I would say, there is the door. Christ authoritatively. Do you know what He said? He said, I am the door. I am the door to heaven. Through me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. So here we are tonight in this gospel meeting. Let me issue it again. Jesus Christ, He says, I say unto you, ye must be born again. I say. What about Psalm 69? Psalm 69 is those lovely words. I sink. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Now, this is a picture. It is spoken prophetically, but it is also a picture. And there are many pictures used in the Word of God. I see the Lord Jesus just there at the city of Jerusalem. And He says, oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I would have gathered thee as a hen gathers her brood under her wings. Ye would not. That's a picture. The picture of the hen gathering its chicks. It's the calling Christ. When I come to Revelation 22, the Lord Jesus says, I am the bright and the morning star. That gives me a picture of the coming Christ. Here, it's the picture of the suffering Christ. And the picture is given. It's a little boat in the storm, going through the storm, battling its way through that wind and through those waves. And the Lord Jesus says, I sink. I sink in deep mire. I am come into deep waters. Here we are preaching again. Listen, friend. It warms our own souls. It thrills our own spirits. Do you know what we are preaching? The storm that He faced. There was one, and He came from heaven, but He faced a storm. A storm like no other. He went into and endured a storm. Heaven and earth and hell afflict Him. Must have been quite a thing at Calvary. Quite a thing when men gathered around that cross. Quite a thing when men spat on Him. Quite a thing with a lacerated back. Quite a thing that His hands were pierced. And that blessed brow with blood flowing from where they put that crown of thorns. My friend, tonight, we are preaching of the storm that the Savior faced. Into that awful storm, man afflicted Him. Satan afflicted Him. Satan brought all his power, all the demonic forces. He marshaled them against the Son of God and hurled them out. My friend, he went through a storm from the power of Satan. But there was one other storm that he faced. He went through a storm, the storm of the wrath of God. The Bible says, from above hath He sent fire into my bones. It prevailed against me. He went through a storm. Did you ever ask yourself, why did He go through the storm? Why did He go through the storm? You know the amazing thing? He went through the storm for me. I see a man called Peter. There in Matthew's Gospel, Matthew 14. And Peter is in a boat, and it's in the midst of the storm, and he sees Jesus coming, walking on the water. And he says, Lord, if it be Thou, bid me come to Thee. And he steps out of the boat and he starts to walk on water. Only one or two men that ever walked on water. And there he is walking through the storm, and suddenly he begins to sink, and he says, "Lord, save me." And suddenly there comes that omnipotent hand, grips the hand of Peter, pulls him out of the water, brings him from the storm. How could he ever save Peter? Listen to it. He was going into a storm. He would pass through a storm to deliver Peter, save him, rescue him, and take him to glory. It was my own sister. In the year 2000, a dear friend of mine, I've mentioned him before, and another friend, Peter Orosok and Murray McCandless, they were having a series of gospel meetings together in a place called Coleraine. 52 got saved that time. Well, my sister, she went on a Monday night, and as we took her those 60 miles, none of us spoke. She wanted to be saved. She was crying in the back of the car. I'll never forget it. Peter Orosok spoke first. And he spoke in the judgment of God. In fact, he read that text, "How wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan?" And he said, "I watched her. And I watched her as I preached. And I saw her head go down. And I saw her head go further down. And at last she put her head in her hands, crying." And then he stepped back. His part of the meeting was over. And he let Murray McCandless preach. And he said, "Oh God, give Murray something to lift up her head." You know the amazing thing? He kept staring at her. And I was sitting beside her and I thought, "Pete, take your eyes off her." You know, terrible stare he had. "Take your eyes off her." Murray got up to preach. And that night he started to quote. He quoted 1 Peter 2:24, "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree." And Pete told me, I saw her head come up and she started to smile. Do you know the reason why she smiled? She told us afterward, "I realized he went into that awful darkness. He went through that storm. He took the judgment. He bore the judgment. He did it for me." Friend, listen, in this gospel meeting, we are preaching about the death of the Lord Jesus. And he says, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing." The storm that he faced. Not only the storm that he faced, the salvation he finished. We are preaching tonight that everything is done. If we haven't communicated it, it's our fault. Because the Bible is explicitly, abundantly clear. When the Lord was upon that cross, his sixth cry, he opened with that cry, "Father, forgive them." He closed with that cry, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." But his sixth cry was this, "It is finished." And he bowed his head. Everything done. So you know what we're preaching? What we are preaching in the gospel is this. It's not doing. It's done. It's not feelings. It's faith. It's not baptism. It's belief. It's not trying. It's trusting. That is, when a sinner steps out and accepts Jesus Christ as their own Savior, God says, "Save them. Give them eternal life. They will never perish. They will be with me forever." Why? Because salvation is absolutely finished. When the Savior said, "'Tis finished," everything was fully done. Done as God Himself commanded. Christ the victory fully won. And here we have it. I sink. The salvation He finished. There is also the foundation He secured. Ah, I'm going home tonight. No, I don't mean to Nova Scotia. Someday, yeah, I'll get back to Nova Scotia in the will of God. But I am looking forward to that moment when I get home. Do you know the reason why? He has given me a secure foundation. In fact, he says, "I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish." Have you got that foundation tonight? Because the Savior says, "I sink in deep mire where there is no standing." What about the last passage? In the book of Revelation, it is not "I say." It is not "I sink." In Revelation chapter 3, we read, "I stand. Behold, I stand at the door, and I am knocking." You might not know it tonight, but in this gospel meeting, it is just not two preachers who are proclaiming the message of the gospel. As we are here opening the Word of God, there is another person. He is in this gathering, and He is knocking at every heart's door. Every person here, whoever you are, whatever background you are from, whatever age you are, Christ is knocking. And He says, "Behold, I stand at the door, and I am knocking. If any person open the door, I will come in." Let me ask you tonight, as the gospel goes forth, are you prepared to trust the Lord Jesus and open that door? Well, you know, you do one of two things when someone knocks the door. You either let them stand without and keep on knocking, or else you open the door. It was that dear man, again, I told you about, Peter Orosok. He lived in Prince Edward Island. And one terribly wintry night, snow was falling, feet of snow on the ground. His wife and he went to bed. And at 2 a.m. in the morning, there came a knock to the door. And his wife said to him, "Hey, listen, there's someone at the door." He didn't get up. He wasn't the best at getting up in the morning time, let alone at 2 a.m. Well, 2 a.m., there comes the knock. And his wife said to him again, "Someone at the door. Go open the door." And still he stayed in bed. The knock came the third time. And eventually he struggled out of bed, made it down those stairs, and got to the door and opened it. And he was just in time. Whoever had been there had vanished into the night. Never found out who was there. There were the footsteps in the snow leading from the door. And he never found out who was knocking, who was calling, who was seeking admittance. Listen, friend, there is one from heaven, and He is knocking tonight. In this gospel meeting, He is calling. He is wanting admittance. He wants to save you. But He says, "I stand at the door. I am knocking. If anyone hear my voice and open the door." What are you going to do tonight? As the gospel, as Mr. Hull continues to come up here to preach the gospel, what will you do with Jesus? What will your choice be tonight? You will either open that door and trust Him and accept Him as your Savior, or you will leave Him without again, still knocking at the door. I say, ye must be born again. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. Behold, I stand at the door, and I am knocking.